in your house, dear God, and praise the Lord that we live in 2008 in the United States of America. We have the entire Bible in our hands. We have your word, your spirit with us in the midst in this church, dear God. And I pray that you please just bless this message tonight and let it sink down into our ears. Help everyone who's here to listen carefully and to understand the truth that's presented tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, if you would take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 22, at the very end of the Bible, the last chapter, Revelation 22. And the chapter that we just read was an extremely negative chapter. God railing on the children of Israel, basically just cursing them up one side and down the other, describing all the things that he's cursing them with and all the punishments that they're going to endure and that they're going to suffer. And toward the end of the chapter, he made this statement. He said, I hated them. And then a few words down, he said, I will love them no more. Right? I mean, he just basically restated. He said, I hated them. God did. And he said, I will love them no more. Now, in order to love someone no more, that means you used to love them, but now you don't love them anymore. Right? That's what he said. He said, now I hate them. Now look at Revelation 22. I'm going to preach to you on a subject that you won't hear in most places. It's not a very popular subject, but it's the truth. And you're going to see it tonight from the Bible about 500 different ways. But what I want to preach tonight is, the subject is this, I will love them no more. That's the title of the sermon. But let me first start out by showing you a truth in the Bible that you need to come to grips with. And that is the fact that there are people in this world who are beyond salvation. Now you say, oh man, I can't believe you'd say that. You know, there's always hope for everybody. Everybody's always got another chance until they breathe their last breath. Hey, that makes for great preaching. It might make a great greeting card, but it's not the truth. And I want to show this to you tonight. Look down in your Bible, Revelation 22. And it's more of a Bible study than a sermon tonight, but look at Revelation 22:18. The Bible says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, add unto what things? The words, he said, the words of the prophecy. It says, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And then look at verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So here clearly we have it stated that God says that if someone takes away from God's word, removes words from the Bible, from this book, he said, I will remove his part from the holy city. I will remove his part out of the book of life. The place where his name would have been written will be removed. His part will be gone. Now this is, what is he saying here? He's saying that that person can never be saved. I mean, their place in heaven, gone. And we're not talking about losing, you can't lose your salvation. This is talking about somebody who's not saved. And he says their part will be gone. Where they could have been, where their name could have been written in that book, where their place could have been for all eternity, is going to be taken away because they've taken away from God's word. And that is an unpardonable sin. Now look, if you would, at Matthew 12. Matthew chapter 12. We're just laying the foundation for the sermon tonight, just showing you from the Bible this truth that's found throughout the Bible. Look at Matthew chapter 12, and we'll begin reading verse number 31. The Bible reads in Matthew 12:31, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, what does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Ghost? Speaking against the Holy Ghost. Well, look at Mark chapter 3. Because here's a person that God said, this person has no forgiveness. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. There is no more hope. There's no more forgiveness. They pushed it too far. They've committed an unpardonable sin. Look at Mark chapter 3. Verse 28, and we'll see it explained a little bit here. He says, verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Now look at verse 30. Because they said he hath an unclean spirit. Right? So that was what they did. That was what they said that sealed their fate for all eternity. By claiming that Jesus Christ was casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils, saying that the Holy Spirit was a devil. Okay? Now look, if you would, at John chapter 8. Try and follow me in this early part of the sermon, because I'm laying the foundation. In this early part, you got to pay attention carefully and get this information. You got to pick up on everything that God is saying here. So number one, we saw people adding to or taking away from the Bible. Their fate is sealed for all eternity. They will be damned according to the Bible. Number two, we saw those who speak against or blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Now in John chapter 8, we're going to see the same thing, except God in John chapter 8 calls these people children of the devil. Now look, I'm a child of God this morning. Are you a child of God? Are you saved? The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So if you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, you're God's son tonight. You're God's daughter tonight. You're his child tonight if you believe on Jesus Christ. Now I've heard preachers get up and say that if you're not saved, you're a child of the devil. That's not true. The Bible doesn't teach that. Because here's the thing. God is a person. The devil is a person. Okay? Now, let me tell you something. When you're the child of a person, when you're their son, you will never cease to be their son. I mean, think about it. My dad's name is Raymond Anderson. No matter what he says or does, no matter what I say or do, Raymond Anderson will be my father. Nothing can ever change that. Now, my wife may not always be my wife. She could pass away. I could pass away. It's till death do us part. But I mean, and sometimes people divorce and whatever. But the point is that the father-son relationship, the father-to-daughter relationship, is a relationship that never changes for eternity. I mean, it's an inseparable bond. That's why once you're God's son, once you're saved, you can't lose yourself. You have eternal life. God gives you eternal life. You're his child. You're his son. You're in the family. You're born again. You're passed from death to life. But see, the same goes here in John chapter 8. Once you're a child of the devil, okay, this is talking about unbelievers who push God too far, cross the line with God, and become a child of the devil, they'll always be a child of the devil. Just as once you're God's son, you'll always be God's son, when you're the devil's son, you'll always be the devil's son. Now you say, well, what does that mean? How does that work? Well, there are only two times in the entire Bible where God mentions somebody being a child of the devil. Two different times. Here's the first time it's mentioned, somebody being a child of the devil. Let's read it together. Look at John 8:38. I speak, this is Jesus Christ speaking, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, and what? And hast a devil. You see that? Look down a little further. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Now look, how many times are they saying here, right? Three times, because they said past tense, we already said that you had a devil, and we were right about it. And then two times here in the chapter, they're saying Jesus Christ is demon-possessed. He has a devil. They did the exact same thing that in Mark 3, where it says that they blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, you have no forgiveness. You cannot be saved. He says, you will never be forgiven for this because you have said that I have a devil. And that's exactly what they said here. And what did he call them? Children of the devil. He said, you're of your father the devil. Look at Acts 13. Acts chapter 13. And while you're turning there, I'll read this from John 12 about the same group of people, the Pharisees that he was speaking to in chapter 8. He said this, therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes. Who's he? God has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. These people had pushed God too far. They had perverted the truth too far. They had said that Jesus Christ was casting out spirits with a devil when he was truly casting them out with the finger of God. And he said, you will never be forgiven. I am done with you. You're going to hell. And here he said in John 12 about the same people, they could not believe because God darkened their heart and blinded their eyes. That's what it said. Now look down at, this is the only other mention in the Bible of somebody being a child of the devil. Look at Acts 13 verse 8. But Elymas the sorcerer, so here's somebody who's using witchcraft and sorcery to control other people, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. There's a second time it's mentioned in the Bible. He says, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. So here's another man who's perverted the right ways of the Lord. He's an enemy of all righteousness. He's a false teacher, a sorcerer, an enemy of everything that's right, hateful toward God, hateful toward Jesus Christ, and he's called a child of the devil. Now, I'm not going to infer from these two verses that every unbeliever is a child of the devil. Because, I mean, how could you go from being a child of the devil to not being a child of the devil? Can you go from being a child of God to not being a child of God? No. Once you're a child, you're a child forever. And so that's the way that works. But anyway, look at, let's go ahead and turn to Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter number 23. And we'll look at verse 15. Now while you're turning there is a verse that says that we were once the children of wrath. But that's because the Bible says that in John chapter 3, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God. That doesn't have anything to do with the devil. The wrath of God abideth on him, right? And so before you're saved, God's wrath is abiding on you because of your sins. But at the moment that you get saved, your sins are washed away, okay? And then your sins are forgiven and God will not impute your sins to you. But here's an interesting verse in Matthew 23:15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye can pass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell as yourselves. Do you see that? Somebody being a child of hell twice over, he's saying. Now in Jude 1:12, he says, these are spots in your feasts of charity. You don't have to turn there. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are, without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, listen to this, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now turn to Proverbs 1. Proverbs chapter 1, back in the Old Testament, right after the book of Psalms. So let's review quickly while you're turning to Proverbs 1. Number one, we know there are some people who could be beyond the point of salvation. They've just gone too far. Number one, people who've tampered with God's Word. People who've taken out or added to the editors of these modern Bible translations, the NIV, the Revised Standard Version, the New American Standard, Kenneth Taylor, who wrote the Living Bible, will go to hell. You say, go win him to Christ. You can't. You can't get him saved. His part is gone out of the book of life. His part is gone out of the holy city. He has blasphemed the Holy Ghost. He has pushed it too far. And there is no salvation for Kenneth Taylor tonight. There is no salvation for those who've changed God's word, because they pushed God too far. They're leading people to hell. They're fighting against God. They're enemies of all righteousness. And God said, that's it. Now look, all manner of sin and blasphemy will be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Don't mess with God's word. Don't mess with the Holy Spirit. Because even Paul, look at Paul. Paul persecuted Christians. Paul spoke against Jesus. Paul spoke against what was right. He even had people arrested, and he still got saved. But did he change the Bible? No. Did he change God's word? No. Was he a child of the devil? No, he wasn't. Now, he'd done a lot of wicked sins. And you know, you always reap what you sow. And Paul reaped what he sowed. He persecuted. What happened to him? He got persecuted. He killed with the sword. He was killed with the sword. Okay, that's what happens in life. You reap what you sow in this life. But he was saved, and he's in heaven right now with all kinds of rewards. I mean, he said, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give him at that day. Now, where did I have you turn? Proverbs 1. Look at Proverbs 1 and verse 24. Here's another type of person that can go too far with God, and it's just too late for him. I hate to say it. I mean, it's the truth. But look at verse 24. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Turn to Hebrews 6. Hebrews chapter 6. So we see here, he said, I called, you refused. I stretched out my hand, no man regarded it. I begged you. And he said, one day you're going to seek me, and you won't be able to find me. You're going to cry out to me, and I will not answer you. Because that you hated knowledge, and would not choose the fear of the Lord. You see, people can go too far with God. God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. You know, Judas Iscariot sought to get right with God and could not. Esau sought to get right with God, could not make it right with God. It was too late for him. He pushed it too far. And the Bible says that God hated Esau. He said, I loved Jacob and hated Esau. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. This is not talking about a saved person. It's talking about somebody who's had their understanding enlightened. They saw the truth. They understood the truth. They understood the gospel. They tasted it, right? They got a taste of it. They saw what the heavenly gift was. They tasted salvation. They heard the word of God. And it says, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. And what does repentance mean? To change their mind. You know, they go back and change their mind and say, okay, wait a minute, now I want to get saved. He says, seeing it's impossible. Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. Look at verse 8. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. So here he talks about somebody who has no chance to go back and change their mind and decide to be saved, because they've already tasted it, they've known it, they've understood it, they had it, it was right there, and they said no. They rejected it for the last time, and God says it's too late for them now. Look at, if you would, Romans chapter 1. Look at Romans chapter 1. Look at Romans chapter number 1. Now notice the last phrase that we just read in Hebrews 6, he said, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. By whom? By God. He said, that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now look, if you would, at Romans chapter 1. And we'll begin reading in verse number... Let's just start reading in verse number 21. The Bible says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Now, here we see the same thing as we saw in Hebrews 6. You know, they knew God. It doesn't mean that they were saved. It just means that they knew who... It's like if I said, you know, I know Brother Dave. That doesn't make him my Savior. That doesn't mean I'm trusting him to take me to heaven. It just means I know him. You know, I've come into contact with him. I know who he is. I'm acquainted with him. He's my friend. It doesn't mean that, you know, he's my Savior. It doesn't mean that I live at his house, you know. And so that's what he's saying here. They knew God. They're not saved, but they knew God. They knew who he was. They knew about Jesus. They knew about the Bible. It says that because they, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, wait a minute. Who did the darkening here? Did they darken their own heart? No, it said that their heart was darkened by someone else, right? So it says their foolish heart was darkened. And then he says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up. Now, what does the word also mean? In addition to something else. So first, he darkened their heart, right? Their foolish heart was darkened, obviously by God, because then it says, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So he didn't dream up. It was their own heart's lust that dreamed up the wicked things that they did. But God gave them up. And as a result, they went into all these uncleanness and lust because God gave them over. He gave them up. Look at the next verse. It says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Now that reminds me of what we saw in Revelation 22, right? When you add to God's word, he said, thy word is truth. You add to God's word, you take away God's truth, God's word from the truth. For example, Elymas the sorcerer perverted the right ways of the Lord. Okay? He said, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, so because of that fact, God gave them up unto vile affections. What does that? What does vile mean? Disgusting. Revolting. Gross. He said, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And now, look, this is against human nature. Now look, we're all born with a sinful nature. You know, human nature will cause us to lie. Let's face it. I mean, we go astray from the womb speaking lies in many cases. I mean, lying is something that's part of our nature, the sin nature, that we need to, you know, we need to put on the new man, you know, and follow Jesus Christ and try to give up these sin in our life. But our natural tendency is going to be to lust. You know, as a man, your natural tendency is going to be the flesh wants to lust after that which is not right. The flesh wants to lie. The flesh wants to be lazy. The flesh wants to steal. The flesh wants to do what's wrong and be prideful. But he says here that these people who've been given up by God, they do things that are against nature. They're not even part of, they're not even found in, it's not even part of the human nature that we're born with. He said, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. So here he's saying, men with men, homosexuality, sodomy. It's everywhere today. It's in the schools, it's on TV, it's in the movies, they march it down the street, it's in the billboards, it's in the magazines, and he said, these men with men, the lust of their own heart, because God gave them up. Because God gave them over. That's why they're doing it. It's not nature. It's not natural. He says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So what does the word reprobate mean? Remember in Hebrews 6 where he said that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing? Go back to the first time reprobate's ever used. You don't have to turn there. Jeremiah 6:30. Reprobate silver shall men call them because the Lord hath rejected them. God has rejected them. They are reprobate. So he said, God turned them over to a reprobate mind, being filled with all unrighteousness. This is the little gay guy at your work. This is the gay man that you see in the street. This is the queer that's on television. This is the queers of Hollywood. He said, this is what they're really like. They're not sweet. They're not nice. They're not cute. They're not funny. He says, they're filled with all unrighteousness. You name the unrighteousness. You name the filthy, wicked sin, and they're involved in it. That's what he says. They're filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God. Notice that phrase right there. Haters of, they hate God. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Proud, there's your gay pride. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are what? Worthy of death. You could have learned that back in Leviticus 20:13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, even both of them have committed abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. He said, we already know that they are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let me tell you something. The homosexual was not born a homosexual.
Right. Amen.
He wasn't born that way. The homosexual says, God made me this way. Well, you know what? He's half right. Because God did give him over to a reprobate mind. God did give him up to do those things which are not convenient. God did give him over to vile affections because God called and he refused. God called and he perverted the right ways of the Lord. He would not be saved. He would not accept the truth. He received not the love of the truth that he might be saved. God has sent him a delusion. God has blinded his heart, darkened his heart, blinded his eyes. Let me tell you something. I don't care whether this flies or not. I don't care if it flies in the world or Baptist circles or who this bothers. The bottom line is, listen to me, stop everything. Homosexuals cannot get saved. Deal with it. Well, I still think they can. You need to read this chapter again, my friend. God already gave up. God already gave them over. You say, well, I just believe that they can be saved. Now look, we've been brainwashed, folks. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. There's a war going on. You may not know about it, but it's an ideological war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Anybody knows that when you're fighting a war, one of the most important things that you can do is to control information. Right? Control the media. You know, when anybody who fights any kind of a war, they've got propaganda, right? And they put out their propaganda. I mean, every war, there's propaganda is a huge part of warfare. Getting people on your side, right? Getting the public on your side. Anybody who's read any history or knows anything about warfare knows about propaganda. They know about, you know, infiltrating and controlling people's minds. Let me tell you something. The two biggest ways to control the mind of America is number one, the schools, and number two, the media. I mean, that right there, if you control the schools and the media, you run this country. You run the next generation. I mean, if you give me control of the schools and give me control of the media, I control the future in 20 years. And right now, kids today are going to public schools in America and they're being brainwashed.
That's right.
And then they come home and turn on the TV and it's time for another brainwashing session. And that's probably 90% of their input of information is either coming from the world's music, TV, or school. Think about it. I mean, they're in school for what? 7.5 hours? 8 to 3:30, 7:30 to 3. They ride to school. Now they pump rock music on the school buses even. You know, they blast rock music. They blast, you know, Hannah Montana. And, you know, shame on you if you listen to Hannah Montana. And shame on you if you let your kids watch Hannah Montana. He said, oh, it's cute. It's Disney. It's sweet. You know what? Hannah Montana was involved in a scandal. I heard this in the news for posing in indecent pictures. And she's a teenager. I mean, isn't that against the law? I mean, we're talking about a teenage girl. What is she, 15 or something? Does anybody know, approximately? 14. Posing in seductive pictures at age 14. And it was in the news as a scandal. But yet, Christian kids wear their little Hannah Montana backpack. They watch Hannah Montana. They go to the Hannah Montana concert, all in the name of Disney. That's not a role model for your kids, people. Don't let your daughters be into Hannah Montana. Don't let your kids be in this junk. But the bottom line is, school and the media, which involves TV and music, mainly, you know, TV, movies, and music, the media industry is brainwashing the minds of America. And that's why I don't go to school, and I don't watch TV, and I shut off the world's music, because I want God to influence me. I don't want to be a part of the mass brainwashing session that's going on in America. And so here I am. I mean, I'm standing here, speaking the English language, reading an English Bible, reading one word after another, words coming together to form phrases and syllables and sentences, and yet people are not understanding what I'm saying right now. They don't believe what I'm saying right now, even though I just read it clearly and distinctly from the Bible. That's what it says in Romans 1. But they can't see it. They can't grasp it because they've been brainwashed by the schools. They've been brainwashed by Hollywood. And don't take good night. Why would you drop your little kids off at school? You're crazy. You're out of your mind. I mean, people will take a five-year-old kid and just drop them off. See you later, honey. And you know what? In California today, Arnold Schwarzenegger passed legislation, he didn't pass it today, but today in the public schools, you know, homosexuality is being taught in elementary school. I mean, look it up. I didn't get that from some kook website. That was from stateofcalifornia.gov. I mean, that's from the governor's website of California is where I heard somebody say it. I didn't believe it. I checked out. I went to the government's official State of California website, looked up that particular date and that particular thing, and there was, sure enough, that it's being taught in classrooms. Did you know that these words are being banned in California? Father and mother? They're not. Teachers in California are not allowed to use the words father and mother in the classroom. They're supposed to use the words as parent. Just parent, because it just could be parent. And instead of saying like wife and husband, it's just your partner. This is what they're teaching. I mean, this is what they're mandating. The state of California is saying teachers need to use this gender non-specific vocabulary to not offend, because there's all these kids who have two dads. All these kids who have two moms. And now they have the two prom kings at many high schools in California last year. We're awarding a dual prom king in the California school system. Two queens, two kings. Look, I'm telling you something. You come to church, and if you're mad at me for preaching on this, you must be out of your mind to come to church and not expect the pastor to get up and scream about what's going on in this world. I mean, somebody's got to get up and say something about it. I mean, they're cramming it down your throat. It's funny how you don't get mad when they cram it down your throat. Well, now I'm going to cram a little of this down your throat, okay? And we'll balance it out. We'll balance the score, okay? They crammed their garbage down your throat. I'm cramming the King James Bible down your throat. Chew it up and swallow it. And come back for more on Wednesday, and you'll get more of the same thing. Because I'm here to try to counteract the lies. I'm here to fight the battle, the ideological warfare against the propaganda that's being put out where they teach in schools that it's normal. They're telling little kids, hey, why don't you experiment and see if you're one, if you're a homo. That's what they're saying. I mean, I've seen the literature. I've looked at it saying, hey, it's okay. Try it out, you know, see if it's for you. See if maybe you're like that. I mean, is that where you want your kid to go to school? Good night. I want my kids to shun that kind of garbage. I drive by one of these schools. I say, that's a bad school, son. That's what I teach my kids. Amen. It's bad. It's wicked. Don't go there. You see, the homosexual, it's too late for him. He's gone too far. That's why God said he needs to just be killed. You know. Now, you think that's ever going to happen in America? Nope. But God help us when it's our buddy. God help us when it's our entertainment. God help us when it's our favorite singer. God help us when we watch them on TV. And God help us when we put our kids around them. You say, oh, well, you know, It's my kid's uncle. Don't let that pervert anywhere near your kids.
Amen.
Don't look at me like I'm crazy. Hey, everybody I've ever talked to in 2008, it has some pervert uncle. It's some cousin, some uncle. I mean, there are so many of them today, they're in just about every family. I mean, in my own extended family, there are sodomite predators. And you know what? They're child molesters.
Amen.
They all are. Don't tell me, oh, no, they're not all. They all are.
Yes, sir.
I pointed out a guy 10 years ago in my extended family. I said, that guy is a reprobate, is what I said. I said, that guy will never be saved. He is a reprobate. He's evil. He is just wicked, and he has gone too far. I said, that man is a reprobate. Turned out that he'd been molesting kids in the family. Comes out years later because people are embarrassed to tell. Years later, it comes out he's a molester, both male and female. And then the years later after that, he came out openly as a queer. He was a closet queer. Look, my friend, I don't mess with me on this. I got the Bible on my side here, okay? Every time you read about homos in the Bible, they're molesting somebody. I mean, every time. Genesis chapter 9. Look at Genesis 18. Hey, bring those guys out that we may know them. Oh, Lot, we're going to abuse you now. Oh, Judges 19. I mean, they're always, always, always attacking somebody. They're not reproducers, they're recruiters. They are recruiting children today, and nobody's stopping them. No pastor will even get up and preach against them. Pastors are scared today. The spirit of fear has filled the pulpit in America, and it did not come from God. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. And so, Pastor Anderson, being of sound mind, on December 28, 2008, sounds like a will that I'm writing, but, you know, Pastor Anderson, being of sound mind, declares today that the homosexual is a predator.
Sure.
But today, we have pastors who stand up behind the pulpit, and they literally think that they're preaching hard when they say, homosexuality is still a sin. Wow. Oh, man. Good. Where did you get that boldness? Where did you get the boldness to tell me that the worst sin in the Bible is still a sin? Wow, that's shocking to me. Oh, you mean lying is still a sin? Whew, wow, you're really preaching hard now, buddy. Let her rip there, partner. You know that's why. I mean, guys, they'll get up and say, homosexuality is still a sin. Amen, amen, amen. Rah, rah, shish, kumba. Why won't they get up and say that he's a predator?
Right.
They won't say that he's a molester. I mean, that's what the Bible... They won't say he's a predator. They won't say God gave him up. They won't say that he's filthy. When the Bible used the word filthy twice about homos, in 2 Peter 2 and Jude, two times he calls them filthy. They won't use the word filthy. Two times he said that God gave him up. They won't say that God gave him up. Hey, several times God said the death penalty. They won't bring up the death penalty. Why? Because they don't have the guts. That's why.
Amen.
They don't have the guts. He said, well, what gives you the guts? It's called being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And you know what? When you fill with the Holy Spirit, you speak the Word of God with boldness.
Amen.
And you go mark this down. You write this in your little day planner. And you remember this, that no pastor who stands behind the pulpit and holds anything back is filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Period. When he holds back what he knows to be true, when he backs off from what the Bible says and does not lay it out and make it plain, when he beats around the bush and hems and haws, that is the flesh talking.
That's right.
God didn't lead him to do that. He's walking in the flesh. He's trying to make friends. He's trying to influence people. He's walking in the flesh. Because when you're walking in the Spirit of God, you have boldness. And you speak the Word of God unashamedly. And you let the chips fall where they may. Period. So look, go ahead and go to a church where the pastor is backing off and he's middle of the road. And if you ever see a pastor start to say something, right, that's Bible truth that he's going to preach, but, ooh, better not say that. We're going to bother people. That man is not filled with the Holy Spirit. Why would you want to listen to somebody, pastor, get up and preach who's not filled with the Holy Spirit? Why do you want to hear some pastor preach in the flesh? I don't want to listen to it. I'd rather listen to somebody who's bold, who preaches it like it says it in the Bible. Who cares? Who cares what the world thinks? Who cares what Barack Obama thinks? Who cares what our government thinks? Who cares what the police think? Who cares what this country preaches? Who cares what the Baptists think? Who cares what anybody thinks? I don't care. I care what one person thinks, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you know what? God's looking down right now, And he hears an echo because I'm preaching his word. He hears me saying the same thing that he said. And so I'm preaching right tonight, and whether you like it or not. But the point is that we need to get our heads screwed on straight about this thing, because if we don't, we'll get a soft spot. You know, and the world has taught us to have sympathy for the child molester, to have sympathy for those who are wicked. There's no reason for us to sympathize with the wicked evildoer. That's what the devil wants you to think. That's what the world wants you to think. He wants you to have a soft spot and a bleeding heart and say, oh no, let's just love him. Let's just accept him. Okay, let's go ahead and accept him as he defiles our children. They will not be welcome in this church. Period.
Amen.
Amen.
David, you know, if one of them comes to this church, I mean, they'll probably be gone just from the preaching. But you know what? You say, are homosexuals welcome in your services? No.
Amen.
No. Cast them out. Cast out the evildoer. Cast out the false prophet. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, if you would. You see, this church is not just a free-for-all. It's not for everybody. This is who it's for. People who are saved.
Amen.
Saved and baptized. You say, are unbelievers welcome? Sure they're welcome. They're welcome, but eventually they're going to get saved or they're going to leave. I mean, it's just, that's the way. I mean, they're going to get saved or they're going to leave. But some pervert, some false prophet. Look, I don't want my kids to be around pedophiles. I don't want your kids to be around pedophiles. And let me tell you something. It says in 2 Peter 2, I want you to look down and really let this verse sink down into your ears. He says in verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So God's promising they will be among us, these false prophets and false teachers, right? He said they will be there. They will be among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Look at verse 12. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, an heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Now flip over to Jude, just a few pages to the right in your Bible. Look at the book of Jude, the short book right before Revelation. Here's a parallel passage. Watch the same thing. Verse number 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kori. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, look at the next two words, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering storms, to whom is reserved, they have a place reserved in hell, he says, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. You say, wait a minute, I thought we were talking about homosexuals. Here we're talking about false prophets, false teachers. Well, look back a few verses. All you got to do is look at verse number 7. He says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after what? Strange flesh. Like they did in Sodom. Strange flesh. That's men with men. Women with women. He says, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, he's saying in the same way, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. So he's saying they defile the flesh in the same way as they did in Sodom and Gomorrah. Going after strange flesh. These people who creep into churches, he says. And you know that churches are a breeding ground for these kind of predators. I mean, come on. You know, open a newspaper and you'll see that's true. They creep into churches, he said. They'll feast with you. They're at the buffet with you. They're at the potluck dinner with you. They're in your church. They're right beside you in many cases. And he says they come in, they bring in false doctrine, they bring in false teaching. He said they're damned to hell, and he says that they cannot cease from sin. Their eyes are full of adultery. They beguile unstable souls, cursed children, they said. And he said that they defile the flesh in the same way as Sodom and Gomorrah did. Why do you think you're always hearing about these Catholic priests? Right? Think about it. Catholic priests that are homos, that are abusing boys. You hear about it constantly with the Catholic Church. But it's not just the Catholic Church. You hear about it with all the denominations. These wicked false teachers, these wicked false prophets. There was a preacher. I got to call this guy's name. I need to blaspheme this guy's name in the sermon. I'm trying to remember what his name is. What was the name of that guy in New Mexico? Jesus, maybe you can help me out. Corley? Yep. Pastor Corley. Here's a church in Farmington, New Mexico. This guy was busted a mile and a half from my sister's house when she lived in Farmington. He was an independent Baptist pastor, preaching out of the King James Bible, okay? But he's preaching wrong on salvation. Preaching this repent of your sins kind of garbage. Amen. And this guy, this pastor, was found. I'm not even going to go into it because of detail. I'm not going to go into any kind of graphic detail. He was caught in the park with multitudes of, like about 18 other men. Okay, I'll just stop there. And he was doing this on a daily basis. I mean, he was a Baptist pastor. Are you hearing me now? Another liberal, watered-down, phony, independent, fundamental Baptist church just several miles away from that one. The youth pastor was busted for, you know, raping a 14-year-old girl in the church, in the youth group, within a few weeks of this guy getting busted, you know, committing sodomy in the park with strangers. This pastor. And let me tell you something. That pastor, my sister drove by. Are you listening? My sister drove by that church where he was. And his name was Pastor Corley. You know, just C-O-R-L-E-Y. It's on the, you can see it on the news for crying out loud. And by the way, you know what his punishment was? For being a stone throw from a school. I mean, you could look at the school from where they were in the park. A Christian school. Okay, having this actions in the park, he got a $125 fine from the police department. But yeah, I run a red light and get $404 in Marysville, California. You know, I get my picture in the mail. You know, I'm speeding on Interstate 8, $297. You know, $303 on the I-10. Do I need to keep going? Payson, Arizona. Camera got me speeding, $187. I can go on. Do you need me to keep going? I'll keep going. But I haven't gotten a ticket in 11 months. Give me a hand, everybody. All right. It's been 11 months now. Pray for me, all right? I'm a new man. But hey, look. What I'm trying to say is, you know, $125. Boy, well, really, we have a lot of justice in this country, don't we? I think the police are worthless. Okay, I'm not. That's a whole other sermon. But anyway, that's a whole other sermon. It's on the shelf. Get the CD. Why the police should not exist. All right. But anyway, but hey, what I'm saying is $125, fine. So my sister drives by and sees his car just still parked out front of the church every day. He's still living in the parsonage. Help us all. Good night. Is that the most insane thing you've ever heard? It was on the news all over New Mexico. I mean, everybody in New Mexico heard about it. I mean, this guy's face was all over the news with the other people. He, because he was a pastor, you know, he was on the news, plastering him on the news. A couple months later, my sister, this is about 2 to 3 months after that happened. My sister, my older sister, you know, she is with her family. They drove an hour north to a preaching conference in Durango, Colorado, just an hour north of Farmington. They walk into the conference, they sit down, and lo and behold, who was there? But Don Corley, sitting in that meeting with his brother. And you know who was sitting just down the row from him? The youth pastor The 350-pound youth pastor who had raped the 14-year-old girl was sitting in the row beside him in this preaching conference in an independent fundamental Baptist church. And people were, my sister said, people were elbowing each other saying, I mean, they'd seen him on the news. They're elbowing each other like, is that him? And my sister Ronnie said, oh, that's him. You know, she recognized him too. And you wouldn't believe it. Nobody said a word to him. Nobody kicked him out. Nobody confronted him. Nobody said a word to him. And the pastor, the preacher was blind. Okay, literally. The preacher was blind. I think his name's John Bishop. He's an evangelist. I think that's his name. I don't know. But he's like a blind preacher. You know, he got some kind of cancer or some kind of problems. And he's totally blind. So he can't see what's going on, you know. But everybody else can see what's going on, and nobody said a word. Nobody, I mean, good night. If I would have been there, that would have been great. This, I told my sister, I said, this is what I would have done if I'd been there. And I said, I don't have to tell you this is what I would have done, because I've done things like this before. So I can tell you what I did do in another situation that was similar. But I said, I would have waited until that place got silent when the pastor was just about to start preaching and they all got quiet. He just opened his Bible. I would have walked up to the guy and said, hey, aren't you that pervert that was on TV? Weren't you the one that was in the park in Farmington? You know, and they would have either thrown me out or they would have thrown him out, one or the other. I mean, before it was over, they would have dragged me out kicking and screaming, or they would have dragged him out kicking and screaming. But the sad thing is, it probably would have been me that got dragged out kicking and screaming. Isn't that sad? But anyway, this preacher, he's blind as a bat. And he's up there preaching. And he starts preaching against the homos. Right? I mean, he starts hitting on them. And my sister was sitting right behind this donkey, a couple rows back. She saw him. He elbowed his brother and laughed when the pastor hit on the queers. I mean, this is a guy who wore the, you know, he was busted. I mean, he was caught in the act. And he thinks it's a joke. And nobody will stand up to him. Nobody there had the guts. All those preachers, it was a preaching, all these pastors are there, all these preachers are there. None of those preachers had the guts to confront him. This is the world, this is the world we're living in. Don't get mad at Pastor Anderson. Get mad at the pastor who's a pansy. You know, get mad at the guy who's watered down. Amen. Because somebody has got to say, you say, what's the purpose of the message? Because if somebody would stand up to him, they'd still be in the closet.
Right.
And if somebody would stand up to him, we would at least have some degree of sanity in this. And I'm telling you, this country is becoming a scary place to be. This world, I mean, the Bible said that in the last days, perilous times would come. It would be dangerous, he said. And it's to the point where you got to listen to my advice right now. Don't let your kids out of your sight. Amen. Please, for the love of all that's holy, don't let your kids out of your sight. I mean, I don't care if it's relatives, it's always some pervert uncle.
That's right.
You know what I mean? I've got my pervert uncle, everybody's got that pervert uncle. Right? And you don't know, oh man, we never would have suspected, we never would have known. Don't let your kids out of your sight. You say, oh, but these people are from church. Doesn't matter. They come into churches. I mean, I literally, we and my dad were watching like a home video. Actually, it was my mom. Me and my mom were watching a home video of a church softball game from the 1980s. And she said, see that guy on first base? He's in jail. He was a pedophile. He was molesting in the church. Now, I don't think that they come into our church because we preach them out the door so fast. They can't handle this kind of preaching, you know. Because I'm just ringing their bell, you know. And they can't take it. I mean, we've had perverts in our church before. Believe it. We've had homos in here. We've had molesters in here. And they got up in the middle of the service and walked out. We had this one guy that was saying dirty things to our members and whispering them. And he, you know, I started preaching hard. He got all uncomfortable, got up and kind of walked out. He pretended he had to go use the restroom and kind of, you know, and then he came back and sat down. And you know, we ended up exposing him and calling the police and everything on him. But hey, look, I'm here to tell you, not that they do anything, not that they're worth anything. Sorry, wrong sermon. But the point is, hey, these people will creep in. They'll be here. Oh, they'll come here. We had like a freak fest about a month ago. It seemed like every service, these weird visitors were coming. You know, almost every service. They're trying to find the chink in the armor. So far, they're having a hard time getting their way in. But as our church grows, they'll creep in. They'll sneak in. Don't you dare let your kids out of your sight. I wouldn't leave my kids with anybody, period. I mean, they're with me, they're with my wife, that's it. You say, you're a little bit over the top. I'd rather be safe than sorry. I mean, there are too many horror stories. Did you know that today in the United States, 1 in 4 girls, by the time she's 18, admits to being abused? Whether it be in school, whether it be in a doctor's office, whether that's very common, by the way, whether it be in a doctor's office, whether it be in a school, whether it be extended family members, 1 in 4 that are willing to come out and say, I mean, most of them are probably ashamed to even say that. 1 in 4 will say, yes, I've been a victim. Not my daughters. You say, God's going to protect them. You know what? God's going to protect them through you. God gave them you to protect them. Amen. God's going to feed them. You better put the spoon in your one-year-old mouth, okay? Don't wait for the hand of God to spoon apples and carrots and squash into your baby's mouth. You spoon the food into its mouth yourself. God's not going to change the baby's diaper. And God's not going to protect your child. He's going to use you to protect. He gave you a book to tell you how to protect your child, to beware and to bring them up and nurture them. He said you're supposed to talk with your children when you rise up and when you walk and when you eat and when you go to bed. That means you have to be with your child. Keep your children with you. Keep them with you. I mean, I can't keep them with me at all times. I'm out working. But they're with my wife. And when they're not with my wife, they're with me. And don't ever be offended if you want to take my kids somewhere. It's not you. It's nothing personal. We just don't leave our kids or send our kids with anybody. Because if we send them with you, we'll have to send them with everybody. So, you know, I told my family, I told people, I said, hey, it's nothing against you, but I don't leave my kids with anybody. And so that's just our blanket rule. We have no exceptions. We don't even think about it. At this age, when they're young, we keep them, say they're too young to be out of our supervision. We're going to keep them safe because we are living in perilous times. And if you know the problem for what it is, then you'll be able to deal with it. Then you'll be able to keep them safe. But if your head is in this mentality that says everybody's good, the queers are good, you know, they're just a little bit twinky or whatever, wrong. They're bad people. Look, I could go on all night, but either you got it or you didn't get it. I mean, we read it in the Bible. You either got it or you didn't get it. So the bottom line is, keep your kids safe. Watch them carefully. You know, you say, well, aren't we supposed to preach the gospel to every creature? Hey, look, I go out, when in doubt, you know, sometimes you see one of these guys and you're like, you're not sure. You know, is this guy just effeminate or is he a queer or what's this guy's deal? You know what I mean? You know, I give him the benefit of the doubt. But, you know, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, you know, it's probably a duck. But usually, if I'm not 100% sure, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I'll try and give them the gospel. But when somebody's just a full-blown freak, pedophile, I mean, I'm not going to cast my pearls before swine. They're just going to trample them under their feet, and then they're going to turn again and rend me. And so I'm not going to cast my pearls before swine. But I'm going to go out and preach to God. And, you know, look. Just understand that in today's world, there are a lot of guys out there who look like a queer. That's just because they're dressing like Hollywood.
Right.
You know, they're just dressing like the rock and roll industry. And sometimes you look at them and you'll almost think, like, this guy's a pervert. But then you'll be like, no, you know, I think he's just dressing like one. You know what I mean? Even Christian kids today, their role models are literal homos, and so they start dressing like homos. You know, because if you're dressing like the Hollywood stars, you're dressing like a sodomite. If you dress like, look, I'm not dressed like a sodomite right now. But then again, I don't look like I'm, you know, one of the cool Hollywood kids either, do I? Do I look like a rock star right now? Do I look like I'm about to put out a Christian rock album? Do I look like I'm the latest craze in Christian contemporary music? No, I look like a man. You know what I mean? Yeah, what's your fashion statement? Man. Male. That's my fashion statement I'm trying to make. I don't buy my clothes. My wife buys my clothes. My wife picks my... I don't care what I look like. Yeah, when was the last time I put a product in my hair? Does shampoo count? That's about once a week, you know what I mean? When soap isn't good enough for the rest of the time, you know what I mean? Who cares? I'm not going to primp and preen myself like some little queer. I'm not trying to get the little, you know these queers, they try to get their hair like messed up just right. You know what I'm talking about? It's like sticking out in just the right directions. You know what I'm talking about? So it's like perfectly balanced on their head. I mean, I saw this guy. I worked in Urban Outfitters on the fire alarm. That was a mistake. Okay? This guy worked at Urban Outfitters. His hair is just sticking out in all directions. Just messed up like a bedhead. You know, like he slept on it wrong. And he was talking to his gay buddy about how he spent $90 on his haircut. Because nobody else gets it right. Except this one place. You know? I mean, I saw another guy that was complaining because he was looking at jeans on the rack. And the jeans, they had paint stains and dirt on them. And holes in them. You know what I'm talking about? Like you bought a pair of jeans for $80 and they already had paint stains and tears in them. And this guy is saying to the salesman, I want a little bit less holes and a little more paint stains. You know, he's like, this isn't enough paint stains, but it's too much tears. And so they're like, okay, well, let's look through here. You know, and they wear their pants so tight, it looks like they're poured into them like a concrete mold. And they starve themselves and make themselves so skinny and anorexic, and then they pour themselves into a pair of pants that they look like Tweety Bird or something. But look, why do you want to dress like them? Why do you want to act like them? Listen, Christian teenager, don't dress and act like these weirdos. There's nothing cool about it. Wear a pair of pants that fits, that's clean, that has no paint stains, no, unless you're a painter, no offense, no holes in it, no paint stains, comb your hair or do like I do and cut your hair so short that it doesn't even matter.
Amen.
I wash it with soap for nuts to shampoo. No, I'm just kidding. You know, who cares? Be a man. But let's pray. Father, thank you so much for a church where we don't have to worry about offending people with the Bible. Thank you for a church that's willing to just believe the Bible and receive the truth. Not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. And thank you so much for the knowledge that you've shown us in the Bible. Thank you for warning us. Help us not to be influenced by this sin-sick society and its perverted TV, radio, and God, just please deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. Keep us and our children safe. Give us wisdom and help us to continue what we've done today. The many, many people saved out this afternoon on soul winning. Thank God for every Christian and Faithful Word Baptist Church who goes out and knocks the doors and works hard and preaches the gospel to every creature. Thank you so much for the many, many people that were saved today. Thank you for the couple of people that I got to have the privilege of winning to Christ. Please just help our church to continue full speed ahead. Help us to grow. Help us to preach the truth and to be one lighthouse and one beacon of the truth in a crooked and perverse nation among whom we shine as lights in the world. Please just bless us as we go our separate ways. Keep us safe this week. Help us to be in our Bibles every single day, dear God, and as we go into the new year.